Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Again, good morning. Welcome. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture in Luke 19, and this is really the story of when Jesus was coming toward Jerusalem for that great Passion Week that we just celebrated last month for Easter. But as he's coming toward Jerusalem, something very interesting happens here. Jesus exclaims something from his heart, and this is really what I want to capture this morning as we delve into the Word of God. It says, "Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives," and this is talking about Jesus, "the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you, if these should keep silent, the stones would cry out.' Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, especially in this, if you had known, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Of course, he's getting ready to enter and into that great Passion Week, like we said. But there's two thoughts that really stand out to me as we look back, and I underlined them there. He says in verse 42, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes." And he concludes in verse 44, "These things are going to happen because you did not know the time of your visitation." You know, as we look at this example here, they didn't really fully realize who it was, who Jesus was, and fully realize the visitation that they were about to, you know, they were receiving, God in the flesh. And Jesus says these profound words, "The things that make for your peace, the things that make for your peace, they're hidden from your eyes," ultimately because you didn't know the time of your visitation. There are things, there are, you know, I like to put it this way, visitations, you think of a visitation from God. Of course, we see this as Jesus doing what he's doing redemptively. But as we think about that, and I just think about my life, there are visitations that you get from God, all right? Now, if you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He's in you all the time, all right? But even as a child of God, having the Holy Spirit in you, you know what it's like when God begins to visit you in a way that he begins to move on your heart toward a direction or to do something. You know, there's just, you know, there may be some times when God is just dealing with you about the grace of God. It's just like the grace, the grace, the grace, and everywhere you go, it's just the grace of God. You can't get away. You don't want to get away. It's that word that keeps coming back. It could be, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit. It could be the integrity of the Word of God. It could be the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It could be the armor of God. There's so many different facets. It could be forgiveness. And, you know, for, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. You know, I like to say it's almost like the old, if you grew up like I did with Sesame Street in the 70s, they had a little thing where they would do, the show was brought to you by the number of the day. You know, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 4. Let's sing a song about 4. All right, some of you know I'm here. And it's kind of then to be like four cakes, four dogs, four everything. And of course, me and my brother would be cheering for our age. You know, we wanted it to be brought by the, you know, the day of our age. You know, we were 1 year apart. So, but that was kind of the big deal. But it's kind of like, you know, you can think, yeah, you know, the love of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, and maybe it's just, you know, like we were singing about this morning, the love of God, and just love, 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 and that's it. That's the one. They're all good. They're all important. They're all valuable. But it's like the Holy Spirit will move you, move on you, and emphasize different areas of His Word at different times as you're growing up spiritually. You're a building project. The Bible says you're a garden. You know, you're a work in progress. You're born again on the inside, but your whole life is a work in progress. And so we have different visitations from God, if you will, in principle, that God will move on us in different areas. And these visitations are powerful. It's not just, oh, that's really cool. Yeah, that's an important part of the Word of God. Well, if God, I'm talking about God, is moving on your heart in an area, you got to know the things that make for peace in your life are in that move. And as you yield and you respond and you obey and you pursue, the things that make for peace are going to be apparent. When you resist those things, the things that make for peace are blinded. You know, the Holy Spirit is alive. He lives in you. He's a person. He loves you. He's for you. And He's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth. This is a life. It's amazing, isn't it? Christianity, it's a life. It's not a sporting event. It's a life. You know, you can make a sporting event out of anything. Competition. You know, from things in the natural to even spiritual and theology and different da-da-da. It's a life. You're going to find that as you live life with God, there's going to be a rest, there's going to be a peace, there's going to be an ebb, and there's going to be a flow. And as you do it, you're going to find out that there are visitations that you get from God. There are emphases of the Holy Spirit that He will lead and guide you as He's leading and guiding you into all truth. And so this morning, I just want to kind of take that principle into our own lives and basically talk about knowing the time of your visitation. There are various types of visitations that we get in life, various kinds of ways that the Spirit of God will move in our lives. The first visitation, of course, if you know the grace of God, if you know His love, if you're in the family of God, the very first visitation you ever experienced was what we would call the visitation of grace. A visitation of grace. The Scripture says, Jesus said, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, we all have our own backstory of how we came to know the Lord, how we came to know His love. But one thing that our backstories all have in common is that at some point in our heart, there's a drawing. There's a drawing toward that cross, a drawing toward Jesus. And what is it? How does God draw people to His grace? Through the preaching of the gospel. It's this simple. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Those words are not just another philosophy of thought to be put on the shelf with all the other world religions or different things like that. These words are powerful. The reason why is because these words are true. And the Spirit of truth is in the earth. And the Spirit of God bears witness that these words are true. It's not a fairy tale. God did so love the world. He did give His only begotten Son. And whoever believes on Him does not perish, but has everlasting life. And if it was just words on a page, there would be no drawing effect. But the Spirit of God is in the earth. And when these words are proclaimed and preached, the Spirit of God works with these words and draws on a person's heart. And it'll cut past all the junk of the culture of the day, and something in somebody's heart knows that's true. And they'll humble themselves as a little child and they'll cling to those words of truth. It's a visitation of grace. It's an opportunity. I remember being a young kid at a Lowell Lundstrom crusade, Carson Park, 9 years old. And he came there, and I remember just him preaching and just the power of that preaching and the word. And I remember literally just kind of scratching at my heart. And he no sooner did I just kind of do this than he said, "Now," he said, "now if God is dealing with you, don't scratch at your heart." He said, "That's God. That's God." And I just kind of went like this. I was amazed at how real the power of the word is. Of course, there's immediate battles in the word of the world and the world, but this is truth, and it's the word of God. And when the word of God is preached and it's proclaimed, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. Furthermore, those that believe will humble themselves as a little child and enter in. So we've already excluded all the hoops and prerequisites of social class and money and everything else. It's the lowest common denominator of humility, isn't it? If it's for whosoever will. If you just think intellectually, that does make sense. But that's the way God set it up. He set it up that the word would be preached and the Spirit of God would bear witness to that word. And I don't care what anybody sees on the outside. Something's going on the inside of a person's heart. And that power is drawing them. And it's a visitation of grace. And there's an opportunity. Another scripture puts it this way: if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the gospel. Can I tell how? Can I explain? Do I have to do anything in terms of science and genius and intellect and IQ? No, I'm just believing that. How can I believe that? Because there is a drawing of the Holy Spirit. There's a drawing that happens. It's not just words on a page. It's not just, that's a clever way for salvation to happen. No, it's truth and it's alive. And there's a drawing of the Holy Spirit. It's a visitation of grace. It's a visitation of grace. The apostle is actually Stephen. Really just a great church member. First martyr of the church. In Acts chapter 7, he preached a great sermon connecting the Old Testament to the New and the significance of Jesus. And he said something. He said, "You always resist the work of the Holy Spirit." He could see that they weren't getting it. It wasn't going in. You know, you have a choice. When you hear the gospel preached, when you hear that message, it's more than words on a page. There is the Holy Spirit that's drawing you. At that point, there's a visitation of grace. Am I going to yield and believe, or am I going to resist? That's the one thing you're controlling, yielding or resisting. There's a visitation of grace. That's what we got to choose when we get a visitation of grace. We all have our backstory of what happened, but at some point, you heard these words, and it wasn't just words. It wasn't just words on a page. He didn't just die for the sins of the world. My sin was on this cross. Anything today, that I am allowing condemnation to beat me down and make me feel, whatever that is, that was there. And the blood was shed for that. The Holy Spirit makes that real to you in your heart in a way that a preacher can't. The Bible says if you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. You can hear a preacher preach it, but when you hear the witness of the Spirit of God say it's true, go for it, and you experience sins forgiven, man, there's nothing in the world like that. Praise God. So, there's a visitation of grace. God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. All I'm doing is I'm calling upon the name of the Lord. And it was several years later, it was like actually 4 years later, I was 13 years old at a Nicky Cruz crusade and at a local high school there in Eau Claire. And when Nicky Cruz preached that message, I literally went forward and, on purpose, gave my heart to Jesus. And I remember praying that prayer in the cafeteria of the high school. And after praying that, just settling it in my heart, I'm a believer in Jesus. Yes, that's me. And I believe that what he did on that cross, he did for me. I yielded. And with the peace that I experienced and the joy, I say it over and over, I felt like I was lighter on my feet when I was walking. There's just such a, you know, the old burden of sin removed. Well, yeah, it really is a burden. You know, sin is a heavy yoke. Grace is a light yoke. And when you experience that the yoke of sin removed and the grace and the forgiveness and love of God replacing it, it does make you lighter on your feet. Praise God. The things that made for my peace were hidden from my eyes until I yielded to that message. You can try to do it in your own strength. You can try to do it in your own ability, out-clever, out-guess, but the things that make for peace will be hidden from your eyes. There are visitations. There's visitations of grace. Romans puts it, this Corinthians says, in an acceptable time, in a day, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. Now is the time. You know, that's the important thing, too, to realize. When you get that visitation of grace, don't wait for the next visitation of grace. Now is the time. Now is the day. Love the little illustration, a little legend of the devil holding the meeting with his chief demon imps, asking for a strategy to attack the message of salvation. The first one said, tell him there's no heaven. He said, the book of truth has so many promises on that, it's hard to get wig-wag your way out of all those. Well, tell him there's no hell. Well, Jesus referenced hell so many times, he couldn't get around that. The third one stood up and said, I've got it. Just tell him there's no hurry. And he was chosen. He was chosen. You know, you don't know when your last day and when your last hour and your last breath is. You have no idea that day. Boy, if there's something you should not play hard to get with, it's your own salvation. It's the grace of God in your life. Today is the day. Now is the time. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never really called upon his name, boy, today will be a great opportunity for you to do that. It's all you can do. If you haven't, today is your visitation of grace. The Spirit of God is working on your heart in a way that we can't see with our eyes, but you know in your heart. And boy, I'll tell you what, God's going to bless you. God's going to change you. And God's going to give you peace in ways that you just really didn't know you could have. But this is what the scripture says in Romans. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what we were really doing this morning, isn't it, when we were worshiping God? Were you worshiping God because of how great you are this morning and how you got it all together? Nah, you're a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. We all know that. We're not rejoicing in this building project. We're rejoicing in who he is. We're rejoicing in his wonderful perfection and glory. And you got things to improve in your life, right? But are you afraid of going to hell? No, not at all. I'm saved by grace through faith. I know I'm a work in progress, and I know my Father loves me, and I know he's patient, and I know I'm overcoming. Praise God. But I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, without that, if I'm trying to get to heaven on my works, I don't have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if you think you got it together and you strung along 34 days of doing the do's and not doing the don'ts. Day 35 is coming. And if you're not in Christ, I'll tell you, you just don't have a peace. When you're in Christ, it's settled. I'm saved by grace through faith. I overcome and I get victory over sin in my life because I'm already accepted in the Beloved. That's why I can. Not to try to get accepted, but because I have his acceptance. I say this all the time. If you see anything that's right in Ed House's life, that I'm doing right, that's really true and right, there's a trail of the mercy and the grace behind me of God that stayed with me till I got it. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that mercy of God and the word of our testimony. Thank God. There's a visitation of grace. It's grace. You're saved by grace through faith. So not only is there a visitation of grace, and let me just say this too before we leave visitation of grace. There's not only just a visitation of grace for the person who doesn't know Christ, but there's also the visitation of grace for the believer. All right? I love the scriptures over and over, Hebrews 4. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, right? Just because I've been saved by grace through faith doesn't mean that that's the end of grace for me. Not at all. I'm living in the grace of God. There are visitations of grace where we can go and receive the mercy and grace to help in time of need. We can't be too proud to receive that mercy and grace. So there are visitations of grace for those who don't know the grace of God and for those of us who do know the grace of God for salvation, but we need more grace. What do I mean by grace? How do you know when you need grace? It's kind of like when you're, internet connection. If you're offline, you're not connected. You know, nowadays we're so connected via the internet, via the phone, via everything. It's like if you don't have your phone on you, I don't have my phone on me today. And I thought, wow, I was just driving to church and I forgot my phone at home. Wow, you know, you could feel like you just left a body part at home or something. And so you're so connected these days by the just by your phone and being connected. And you know, that's how it is, you know, for a believer who knows the grace of God, when they need a visit, that grace to help, it's like, you know, in your walk with God, you feel like, I'm not connected. I know God, I know He loves me, I know He's my Father, but I'm not connected. You know, you can be married and not connected to your spouse. You can have children, not be connected to your children. You know, you can, what am I talking about? We're just talking about fellowship. They're still your children, they're still your spouse. God's still my Father, but you're not connected. There's something in between there. There's something that you're allowing to, that you're running away from. Nothing on God's standpoint. God knows all, loves all, but there's something in our own hearts that we're hiding, we're not being clear on. Man, there's mercy and grace to help in those times of need, to get back online. You got a way. You got an avenue. That's what I love to say. You know, there's a new and living way for the believer. So I don't even have to wait on a visitation of grace as a believer. There's just a way. Just come boldly. Just come. Just come and obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. It's there for you. It's kind of like the older son saying, man, you kill the fatted calf for my brother, younger brother, he comes home. And the father says, you've always been with me. Everything I have is yours. Sometimes we're like that older brother. We're looking around at other people and what they're doing and what we're getting. We got the throne of grace right there. Comparing, saying, the father saying, come on, just get whatever you need. It's there. It's for you. So grace is there for you as a believer. As an older brother, as a believer, somebody who knows God, that throne of grace, it's a new and living way. It's established. So come and get it. God's grace is overflowing for you. Also, not only is there a visitation of grace, but you're going to find that there are visitations of what we'll call growth. Visitations of growth. Praise God. Hebrews puts it this way. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The Amplified puts it this way. Therefore, then, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, in verse 11, you got to understand, it's what we call the Great Faith Hall of Fame. These are witnesses. They're people who walked by faith. They're people who lived all out for God by faith. And so it's kind of referencing back to that group of people, you know, Abraham and Noah and all the different great Hall of Fame greats. Therefore, then, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily and deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance in steady and active persistence the appointed course of race that is set before us. Now, this isn't talking about people saying, lay aside the sin so you can go to heaven when you die. This is talking to believers, right? This is talking to believers and saying, as believers, let us lay aside the weights and the sins which so easily ensnare us. You see, sin has a whole different context here. Sin is about being afraid of not going to heaven. Sin is about slowing you down in your race. It's impacting your fruitfulness, your effectiveness in the earth. It has a whole different context for the believer. It has a whole different kind of evil. The evil is, there's things in my heart I can't get out, I can't express, and I know sin's holding me back. I'm being distracted. I'm being entangled by weights and sins. Now he talks about weights and sins. Sins are clearly sins. Things that you know in your heart are clearly wrong in the Word of God, and you cross those lines. I'm not talking about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so saying you shouldn't do that. I'm talking about things you know in your heart are wrong, and you're crossing those lines. You know it. That's sin. That's a transgression of what you know. You're engaging in something that you know and believe is wrong. That's sin. But there's also other things, weights and sins. Weights aren't sins. Weights can just be distractions. In other words, it's not a sin to do something, but if I'm spending bazillions of hours doing that, and it's just eating all my focus and my time that I know God could be pouring in and through me, it's a weight. It's like running with ankle weights on. It's going to slow you down. Yeah, you can still run, but it's going to make you slower. And so you're laying aside those weights. Why? So you can be more efficient in your running, more efficient in that. So a weight is, again, not a sin, but something that just becomes, too encompassing in your life to where it slows you down, slows down your effectiveness. So he's saying, lay aside the weights and the sins. Now, I want to talk about this because, and again, I'm just talking about me. I'm talking about, things I've experienced, walked through. But sometimes those visitations of grace, those visitations that would make for peace, are going to be visitations of growth. God's going to visit you about some stuff. The Holy Spirit's going to get in your heart. And he is going to begin to speak to you about things. Jesus said he's been sent to lead and guide us into all truth. There may be some things, like we were talking about the gospel. You could hear the gospel, yield to it, receive the precious forgiveness of God. Thank you, Lord. Now you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit hasn't gone away. He's still in you. Still witnessing to things that are good, that are bad, or things that just might not be healthy for you spiritually. You might be over here, and you're maybe don't get this into a bunch of do's and don'ts. I'm not talking about what people think. I'm talking about you and the Spirit of God in you. There may be like a TV show or a series or something that you're watching and you're just kind of, there's something that just isn't quite right. It's just not, just probably isn't the best. They tell us in Bible school, eat the hay and spit out the sticks. Sometimes when you got good and bad together, just kind of have the sense. But you're kind of watching something and it's like, there's more sticks here than there is hay and this thing's probably dragging me down. And I know bad corruption corrupts good character. It's kind of not good. You know what I'm saying? And so you can kind of get over here and it's kind of like that. But now you got the same choice. You can either yield to that and say, no, okay, I'm laying it aside. Or you can, resist it and just keep doing what you're doing. And when you're over here and the Spirit of God is saying, that's probably not the best thing. And, you just kind of resist it, you ignore it, and just kind of keep doing what you're doing. And you're over here talking to God and saying, God, I need wisdom on this relationship issue. I need to see what to do. I need to understand what to do. And you're over here dealing with me about a program. What are the two having? They don't have anything to do with each other, right? The two may have more to do with each other than you realize. When you're, I'm not talking about do's and don'ts and people now. I'm talking about you and your walk with God. I'm talking about you and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If you in your heart sense something's not right about engaging in something like that, and you're feeding spiritually on something like that, and then you want clarity of spiritual focus and understanding and direction in your relationship issues, those things will affect your ears to hear. Those things will impact you. And that's what the Bible says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And that's why it's a deceptive work. I'm just giving you a for example, some stuff in my own life, where, there are some things when you obey God in that area and you obey God and say, okay, no, I'm not. I'm freeing myself up. I'm freeing my spirit, my mind, my heart from that stuff. Things that make for peace in your life, it will give you eyes to see and ears to hear. It'll clear things up. It can help clear things up. That's what I'm saying. Here's my point. When God is dealing with you in visitations of growth, pruning to bear more fruit, however you want to put it, when he is dealing with you in some areas, you got to realize it's not just a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. If there's a visitation, remember, today is brought to you by the number 3, and it's that thing in your heart, then you got to know that when that happens, there is peace that he has in your future. It's not to spoil your day or ruin your fun, but there are things that are blocking your eyes from seeing things. The things that make for peace, the things that make for your peace are behind those visitations of the Spirit of God. And instead, we'll kind of say, well, I'm not going to be religious. I'm going to play games, da-da-da. Forget all that junk. I'm talking about you and God. If God's dealing with you, it's not about comparing yourself and amongst one another. It's being true to God. This is a relationship. And when you're true in those inward parts, say, okay, God, now I'm going to focus on you instead, whatever that is. You'll see more. You understand more. You have, it's in principle, it's kind of like fasting.
I don't fast so I can impress God with how long I can go without food, so that in exchange, he'll answer my prayer. Wow, 10-day fast? Whatever you want, you got it. No. Fasting does absolutely nothing to impress God. The functional purpose of fasting, really, technically, it's just to quiet the appetites of these natural bodies that are constantly going, to quiet them down to where we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And a lot of those things, if the Spirit's dealing with you to stop and cut things off, those things are probably stirring up things in your mind that are clouding your ability to see and hear. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's not just what you believe theologically. It's about what you're actively engaged in that has to do with the quality of what you're hearing. And you realize that. I want to say, there's visitations of growth. When God is dealing with you about some stuff, we can't get into these condemnation games and looking out holier than thou. You got to be honest with God and say, God, what are you saying here? If you're leading me to do some things, to lay aside some things, right? I'm not doing this to go to heaven when I die, right? I'm doing this to be fruitful in my race. I'm not doing that. But I got to be honest. That's why the Holy Spirit's been sent to lead and guide me into all truth. Truth. And it's the truth that makes you free. And if we resist where he's leading us, we're putting our freedom on hold. Because there's truth there. And I'll tell you, the other big truth is he loves you. And he wants to be close to you, and he wants to be intimate, and for you to know how much he loves you, not just on a theological statement, but in your heart. And some of these things, some of these areas, these visitations of growth, where you do what God's told you to do, something powerful happens. Here's an example of the Corinthian church. When they had to do this, the Apostle Paul exhorted the Corinthian church, and they did what he told them to do, and this is what happened, and this is what will happen in our lives when we do it too. He said, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication, and all these things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. There's a clearing of yourself when God visits you to make some changes, to make some adjustments. There's a clearing. There's an indignation. Lord, I'm living all out for you. You're the reason why I'm here. You're the reason why I get up and enjoy my life and my family and the Word of God and everything that I do. It's for you. It reorientates you back. So there is that kind of visitation. And this is not always from sin. It can be things theologically too. It could be areas where God wants you to grow, where God wants you to develop, where God wants you to expand. You know, he could move you out into, you know, different areas of I came from a Lutheran background. This is a non-denominational, charismatic type church. I never heard anything about gifts of the Spirit, whatever. So for me, I remember there was a move of visitation to begin to move in, to begin to look and explore and pursue things of the Spirit, in spiritual things and spiritual gifts. And what an exciting, you know, time for me to be able to be willing and to be open to change. If God is moving in you, and it's God and it's Word and it's change, it's good. Don't be afraid of change. We're supposed to change. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, there are times when the Spirit of God is going to lead you from glory to glory into the things of God and the things that belong to you as a believer. And as you begin to walk out and walk in those things, it will absolutely transform and revolutionize your life. You know, there's a whole industry of nostalgia. You can turn on your TV and it's, you know, the old grill hymns, songs of the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, you know, and kind of the old songs, and kind of stirs up those nostalgic feelings and where you were and different things like that. And it kind of produces kind of a, you know, kind of an enjoyable, you know, step into the past and remembering the past. But there's a danger of getting stuck in the past, where it's Linus in his blanket. You're just holding it tight. It's what you know. There could be a visitation for growth. I remember when he did it for me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember just the first time. So I don't want to, you know, coin one of those dramatic da-da-da-da-da Christians and all that stuff. But at some point, I got mad enough to begin to get in the Word of God. Dated a gal who was Pentecostal. This isn't Julie, but I dated a gal who was Pentecostal. They didn't really, you know, they had a different kind of believing in it, but it was one of those things that got me mad enough to go into the Word and find out for myself. Is this thing really real? Did it really pass away? Can we dispensationalize it away? Can we? With the closed canon of Scripture, lump all the spiritual gifts? Is that scriptural to do that? And beginning to pray it out and seek it out and begin working in my heart, I just began to realize that, wow, there's something here. There's something here. And I went to different Pentecostal churches, had them lay hands on me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's just praying in an unknown language that's given to you by inspiration of the Spirit of God. Never got a thing. I was kind of uptight. I was just kind of wanted this thing because once I believed it, but it's not about that at all. I was just by myself in my bedroom, just worshiping God, minding my own business, and in the middle of my hallelujahs, something happened to my language. It's like, wow, praise God. You know, no pressure, not impressing anybody. Nobody in my family even believed in this. I mean, I had nobody to impress. There's nobody there. I had no agenda. It was just, it's not a sport. Like I said, it's not a sporting event. It's his life. It's like, wow, praise God. Ever since then, I've been able to pray beyond my understanding. Ever just want to pray, but you just run out of things to say in English? What a joy to be able to switch over into the Holy Spirit and just be able to pray in the Spirit and build yourself up on your most holy faith and experience an edification that's not selfish. It's an edification that builds you up and tunes you in and allows you to minister out the things of God. Oh, thank God for the visitation of the Holy Spirit that led and guided me into that dimension. God will lead and guide you in different dimensions of things that belong to you and that are in Him. They're visitations of growth. And you could choose what to do or what not to do. You know, one of the saddest statements in the whole Bible is in John, where it says that many of the chief rulers knew that he was the Christ, but they wouldn't say it lest they be kicked out of the synagogue. Wow. You know what I see in my mind's eye? I see people standing at a door sill right there. They're kind of leaning back on a door sill, and they're knowing what's out there. They know who he is, but they're going to stay inside because they know the persecution they'd get if they went out after him. They knew he was the Christ. You know, if there are things you know in your spirit, that's a visitation for you. You have a decision to make. You're going to stay inside? Stay approved and accepted? Or are you going to go with what you know? You only get a few moments down here. Your life's a vapor. When I get to heaven, I want to be saying, I knew that was God. I knew that was God. I knew I should. No, I want to live my life in such a way that when I get there, praise God, I did what I knew was God. Now. Praise God. There are visitations of growth. There are opportunities that you have to grow and to know God. And again, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in you. All right, so don't get this confused with, you know, people peer pressuring you one way or the other. This is just God speaking to your heart, leading and guiding you into all truth. And then, there's a visitation of guidance. And this is such a precious visitation. Oh, you know, these are the visitations that you anticipate in your heart, and then lo and behold, they happen. It's like, wow, yes, God really. Julie and I would sometimes joke about getting our, you know, because for many years, you know, we started this church when I was 35. I answered the call of God to do this when I was 17. So do the math. It's twice, 17 and a half. So it was literally like half. I had to live a whole nother lifetime at that time, 17 and a half years, to finally get to where I was equipped to do this. But I'd answered it back then. But there are visitations of guidance. And we'd kind of joke, have you got your go ye? And that's what we're talking about. Do you got the word of God where he said, go? Now is the time. You've been patient, you've been waiting, but now there are times where God is going to visit you and say, go. It is time. It's a lot from the line from the Lion King. But that's where you'll get that in your heart. It is time. Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3 says, now the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mahan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. What an amazing day that had to be. These guys are just, again, minding their own business, just worshiping God, minding their own business. And right in the middle of that, the Spirit moved on them. There was a visitation, and the Spirit spoke something. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul, for the work, which was Paul, for the work to which I have called them. And that began what we call Paul's first missionary journey. It began in a prayer service, a worship time, where the Spirit of God spoke something. It might have been something they had on their heart for years. And it's great to have something on your heart for years, but it's another thing when you got something on your heart for years and then the Spirit visits you and says, go. Now is the time. You may not even have all your questions answered. You may not have every duck in a row, but you just know the Spirit of God is saying, take the next step. Again, it's decision time, isn't it? We can stay back in the boat or we can get out and walk on the water. Because no matter when he says, go ye, there was going to be some faith involved. There's going to be something you don't know. And there's going to be some area of trust that you're going to have to look to him. But there's a visitation of guidance. I remember when I was at the church, I used to go to Bethel Church in Eau Claire, and Julie and I were very excited about going to Rhema Bible Training Center back then. And as I was in the choir, this was 89, and we left in 89 to go, but it was like the spring of 89. I'm in the choir, and we're just worshiping God, and all of a sudden, you know, because I was excited because I'm going to go to Bible school, and I'm going to go to Bible school, and I'm going to turn the world upside down, right? And right there, when I'm in the choir loft at Bethel, God spoke to me. He said, it'll be 7 years before I move you out, begin to move you out into the ministry where I've called you. And I remember that, thinking 7 years. And I mean, I'm worshiping God, right? I'm in the presence of God, and I know it, and it's right in the Spirit, and it's bearing witness, and it's right. And I'll tell you, you know what it did to me? Because I was ready to tear it up. It settled me down. I wasn't going to Bible school to show everybody what I knew. I was going to Bible school as a humble student to be equipped for what God had called me to do. It changed my whole perspective. That word, thank God for it. And then I remember, it was just coming home from work one day, and it was 96, 7 years later, and we just came back to Minnesota. I had finished out a degree at North Central, and helping a church there. And the pastor saying, Ed, we've got these new members, and we just need a special ministry to shepherd them and to pastor them. And we're having like a new believers ministry, and I need you to shepherd these young believers. And I remember the Holy Spirit bringing me back to that day when I was in the choir loft saying, you are now embarking into the ministry whereunto I've called you, pastoring. And it was like, wow, praise God. And I had a lot of good stuff in me from 7 years of just being in receiving mode. Thank God. But then I got that go ye. I got that go ye. And there was another time, too, as I've told about this church, where we're faithful in serving the church. And that's a good thing, faithful in serving in the church. And Julie and I knowing someday we're going to start that church. And just talking with Julie's uncle one day in the car, in the garage, can still see it. And he just looked at me and he said, Ed, what about you and Julie? Aren't you going to be going and starting a church someday? That's what you're always talking about, right? Said, yeah, someday we're going to do that. And right there he said, maybe now's the day. Maybe now's the time. And then he said, if it meant getting a little ham and egger job to make ends meet to go into the ministry, would you? That's like the worst question in the world you could ask. Because you know the answer to the question is yes. So I said, yes, I answered the question correctly. But I walked away from there going in my heart, wow, what am I willing? And I remember the Spirit of God said, Ed, you don't even have a resume ready if I put that opportunity in front of you right now. You wouldn't even be ready. It's time to get ready. And I got ready and got my resume ready. And within days of when I got my resume refreshed and ready, an email came along through Rhema that said, opportunities. First opportunity I looked at, top, expressed interest in pioneering a church in Door County, Wisconsin. And I was ready. Because I had that word, that visitation. Now, when he said that, I could say, oh, you know, maybe he's just feeling good. Maybe he's just feeling, you know, you could pass things off. But when you know it's God, I'm not talking about perception. If you're living in the realm of perception, what everybody else thinks, you can make your case and justify anything. We're wired that way. We all have a doctorate in our hand. We're good at it. Where you're born with a doctorate in your hand. It takes humility in the Spirit of God to unlearn that and be simple regarding malice. You're not naturally simple regarding malice. It takes the Spirit of God to become simple and to humble yourself. But when you begin to say, no, I'm not. God, yeah, you're witnessing what he said. That's right. There's visitations. There's visitations of guidance. And then when he said that, I remember just taking those next steps. And voila, it was God, and it was the will of God. I didn't plan it. It was one of those things. It really happened. Paul wasn't planning this. It happened. But you got to be ready when you're saying, oh, I want to do this for God. I want to do this for God. I don't want to say be careful what you wish for or what you pray for. Don't be surprised when the Spirit of God actually talks to you about that in a pronounced way, in a visitation way, and says, now is the time. Time to take that step. Here's we're going to close with this. Little example that we see from Moses' life. Now, Moses was tending the flock in Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And notice, of course, Moses is in the backside of the desert at this time. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. Wow. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush wasn't consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight and why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. It kind of makes you wonder the way this is wondered. How many people might have walked past this bush but didn't turn aside to look? Moses said, he saw this bush. He looked. It was consuming, but he said, I will now turn aside and look at this great sight. So when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. It wasn't until, so Moses is kind of seeing something kind of out of the corner of his eye, thinking, wow, that's really amazing. That's supernatural. That shouldn't be happening, but I'm too busy. I got other things I got to do. That's cool. I'm sure there's a plausible explanation for it. I just don't have time right now. But Moses said, no. I'm going to turn aside and see why this thing isn't burning. That doesn't make sense. I want to know why. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, then he called. It's like he got his attention. And when he saw that he had his attention, then he spoke. But Moses had to step away from his routine that day. And he did it. When there are visitations of guidance, you may find yourself having to step away from what you're doing, from your routine. And in that stepping away, have you ever had that where maybe before bedtime thought, oh, I just feel like, okay, I'm going to have a little devotion time. I just know it. And then you get refreshed, you get a word, and it's like, wow, I'm so glad I took that little extra time. So you made all the difference in the world, in the morning, or whatever it might be. That time to step aside. When there are visitations of guidance, it will require some time of stepping aside. So knowing the time of your visitation, there are various visitations that we experience from the Spirit of God in our lives. He's been sent to lead and guide us into all truth. The first great truth the Spirit of God is going to lead and guide you into is salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. These aren't words on a page. It's a message that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And those words have a drawing effect. They have a drawing effect on your heart. You don't have to understand it. All you have to do is listen, humble yourself, listen to that drawing in your heart and respond to it and say, okay, here I am, God. Wash me, cleanse me, Make me your very own child. That's all you can do. The other visitation of grace, especially as you begin to walk with God, is those visitations of growth. There may be some weights and sins, and don't get into the arena of reason and comparing and all that stuff. You will move a budge, and you'll be five levels justified in not moving a budge. Forget that junk. When it's the Holy Ghost saying, that's not really too great. See, the Bible says the Spirit can be grieved. You know that? Don't grieve the Spirit of God. One of the ways we know that the Spirit is grieved is when we begin to speak corrupt communication, we begin to tear people up with our words. That grieves the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And there's things that we could see and watch that can be grieving. And we can say, you know, this is just like, I'm not judging people. So if I don't do this, then they're going to think I'm hyper-spiritual and that I'm judging them and da-da-da-da-da. You got a decision to make. It's not, again, that's all the same trap, really. If God is telling you not to, then hopefully they won't. But ultimately, just got to say, I'm not judging. I'm just, this is just where I'm at and what God has shown me to do right now. And, you know, I'm not, you know, but this is, this, I'm talking about the laying aside the weights and sin stuff, all right? Or maybe it's something you're doing for so many hours, you're going to cut down to, you know, a few hours, or something that's not, to make it not a weight. You know, things that God is dealing with you on, okay? That you're going to kind of bring things in line. Doesn't mean that I don't like you, don't care about you, but I'm just doing what the Holy Spirit. There are things that'll make for peace in your life. There are things, your breakthrough is in that. You can think, well, what does that have to do with this issue over here? It has a lot to do with that issue over there. Because there are things that if God is telling you to do this, there are things that make for your peace that you will see over here. That's God. That's the way he'll move. It's weights that are slowing you down. That's the way he describes it. I'm not afraid of going to hell. You're slowing down my race, and I see it in that light. Nope, I'm going to be efficient. And I'm going to be all in this matter, clearing of myself, vehement desire, clear passion, doing what God's called me to do. Also, growth in areas of growth in the Word of God. There may be areas that he wants you to walk in. You know, everything that we have in Christ, you just go through your Bible and highlight in Christ, in him, in whom. We have a lot that belongs to us in Christ, full of stuff. He will move you into areas of blessings that belong to you. Praise God. And there are things that make for your peace as he is moving you into those areas of blessing. And finally, there are visitations of guidance. And that's just when he's going to be coming along, you know, sometime, and he'll get your attention in some way. Even when he gets your attention, you got a choice. Am I going to turn aside and listen to what he has to say? Am I going to pursue it? Am I going to take that step of faith? Praise God. You do it, and he'll be right there with you, leading and guiding you all the way. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for those times of visitation, Lord, and that those visitations belong to us. And just go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the visitations of your precious Holy Spirit, visitations of grace. You are with me. You are for me. Visitations of growth. You love me. You lead and guide me into all truth. Help me to be honest with those areas that you're leading me. If you're telling me to let something go, I can let it go. I can live without that. And you're going to be that much more real in my life. My dependence on you will increase as the natural stuff decreases. I want to grow. I want to be changed from glory to glory. I don't want to just relive the same glory. I want to change and grow. And Heavenly Father, when you tell me to go, I will go. I will turn aside and listen to those words and to know there's provision and there's protection in those words. Lord Jesus, today is my day, my visitation of grace. I call upon your name today. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on that cross for everything I ever did wrong. I receive eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.